Emma, I'm so excited to see you. I hope everyone else is excited to see you. Guys, give her some hugs. She's been working really hard on this platform, and I'm excited. Okay, let's see if I can do us side by side really quickly. Oops.
I think so. Yeah. Your face is still blocked.
I know. No, I'm working on it. There we go, guys. I can even tilt this closer to me. I know. This is... Yes. I could have... Oh, everyone's here. Guys, hi. I'll be saying hi, but in the meantime, we've got Emma here. Her time is valuable. Let's make sure... let me give her the floor a little bit. So, Emma, how's your day been going?
Good. Just, you know, nothing exciting really too much yet.
Just oh, really? Just the usual?
And, yeah.
What is your life not exciting?
Well, it is exciting, but then it's, you know, it's like you get used to certain things and it becomes mundane.
How could you get used to cryptocurrency? How is that... And NFTs of all things. It's like, yeah, like Bitcoin's a thing of the past, but like, yeah.
It's funny though, because like when you first go into crypto, the markets, they move so quickly.
Yeah.
It's like every day it's like super exciting and you're seeing, you know, then go up, go down.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Price action, and then that's not even like looking at the news. And then you start looking at the news and you're like, wow.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, hundreds of projects popping up each day and doing interesting and new things. But then you kind of just become used to it. And then when you're building in it, it's different as well because you kind of go into like a
Now you have to really understand it.
You have to really understand, but also you like focus really on what you're building because the other stuff is just mostly noise anyway. You know, like it's good to have a bit of a macro view of what's going on in the broader markets and other projects, but then it's also like you've got to really be fully focused on what you're building. Otherwise, it's so easy to get just caught up in everything. And then you just, you know, it's like you get stuck because you're seeing so many things happening here, happening there. And it's like, well, what do I do? So, yeah.
Yeah.
It's an important part of it, too.
Oh, my God. Oh, wait. I think I hear myself on echo. I just want to make sure.
Let me see. I've got...
There's just so much going on as well. Like, you always have to... You always have to moderate what's coming in. You're playing all these games off your Mac? No, I'm playing them on console. I have a capture card. So you always have to moderate what's coming in because, I mean, I can only imagine it's just a bottomless pit. Like you said, it's nice to have a macro view, but how far can you... Yeah.
Yeah.
How far can you look there?
No, I agree. I mean, It's like anything. I think once you start, like this is like, you know, the day to day now for myself. So
yeah.
And it has been for about, you know, 3 to 4 years. So you just become used to it. You become part of the world. And it's like anything, like, you know, when you first started streaming, it was like a lot of stuff going on and a lot of new things to learn. But now it's like kind of just normal through the sticks. Exactly. So it's the same thing. It's
oh,
just
whatever.
Like,
the stream broke. Time. Whatever. Yeah. We'll just.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. But I always find that that's the best. It's like when you're, it's actually more crazy looking from the outside.
Really?
When you're not like fully involved in it, it looks more crazy. But then when you like really get into it, it's like, oh, okay, it's not too bad. Like I can handle this.
Yeah. Oh man. But there's so much detail. There's so much to it, right? Like, I haven't gotten to the specific technologies yet. Like, I believe I understand NFTs, right? I believe I've done this research. But, you know, there's stuff like the NFTs themselves carry a certain amount of information. All this stuff gets... And there's specific, I guess, there are protocols for all the NFTs. Anyway, all this stuff is crazy. Let's take it from the top for the viewers. So, I guess, would you like to introduce yourself?
Yeah, sure. Why not? So my name's Emma. I'm based in San Francisco and I run a project in crypto, particularly NFTs. It's called Digitalex and it's focused on digital fashion and gaming. for NFTs. So it's all kind of looking at, how do I say, there's a lot to it, a lot to what we're developing. But
I'm just going to move us around a little bit better to make this a little more figure. Okay. I'm like thinking, what's the best way to do this? I'm used to having five people on a call. So I have a setup for that. But when I have one, it gets a little more confusing. Okay. Sorry about that. Please continue.
Sure. So, as I said, we're in digital fashion specifically, and then also gaming. And it's looking at how do you, you know, use NFTs and protocols and kind of the different technology around this to bridge digital fashion into gaming as one broader component. But I guess the bigger part is also looking at how do you actually, quote unquote, liberate the gaming industry.
Yes.
Which is like a really big part of our broader kind of roadmap and what we're doing.
And Emma, I just have to sorry for interrupting you again. We just got 30 people incoming from our good friend.
Wow.
Yeah, from our good friend Skyfry. Skyfry, you're a freaking legend. You're a freaking legend. Thank you so much. Everyone who's here, I got someone who's supporting the stream, a founder of an NFT cryptography cryptocurrency. Crypto platform. My God, you guys keep distracting me with these follows. I should let her talk. But I really, guys, someone in chat, hug each and every one of you guys. I really want to get to know you guys, but I've got to let her talk right now. All these follows are amazing. I will try to message each and every one of you.
Wow,
Zeng, give them
great.
Hugs. Yes. So tell us, we've got 2.5. Dude, yes, guy, I'm shaking. Because you're so kind. Emma, I'm so sorry. Please continue. This is what streaming's like sometimes. It's just chaotic.
Yeah. No problem. Yeah, so we are a digital fashion NFT protocol. And we started last year around October, but then launched officially in December as a live marketplace for digital fashion NFTs.
Yes.
So we partnered with over 30 digital fashion designers globally that launched really cool 3D digital fashion on our platform. And we were really intrinsically part of all of that. And they ended up going really well. We held these auctions and they went extremely well. We've held 5 auctions to date and over 400K in sales.
No way.
Total.
And let's... Yeah, yes, and like for you guys probably may or may not know what an... Oh my God, and we've got a hype train too. Guys, remember to focus. Focus. Some of you guys may not know what an NFT is. You guys may know what Bitcoin is. So an NFT, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, because I've got to bring it back from the bottom with these guys. An NFT, yes, chat is going bonkers. And an NFT is essentially a digital trading card. It stands for non-fungible token. And so... You guys are really trying to distract me here. It stands for non-fungible token. So it means that there's only one of these, let's say, in existence. It is unique in value. Now, I guess someone could make 5 of the... trying to distract me. Someone could make 5 of that exact, let's say, trading card, but then there are only 5 of those in existence. Am I explaining it well enough? You probably do this.
Yeah. No, I would say that, I mean, how I like to, the rarity side is really good. I also like to describe it as like a, you think of it like a digital certificate of ownership.
Yes.
That you're able to really verify. It's like, everyone knows that, you know, kind of who owns the Mona Lisa. You can go to the Mona Lisa, you can take a photo of it. You can sketch something that looks exactly like it. But they're kind of invaluable because the real Mona Lisa is the only one that actually matters. And you're able to verify the different techniques about why, you know, that's the original painting. So
right. An
NFT allows you to do that digitally. So you could have a digital item and you can do the same kind of, I guess, tracking and authentication through the technology to say, well, this is the real item, this was the original. So even if, you know, someone downloads PNG or they take a screenshot of it,
yes.
They don't really own the real one. They just own a copy. So that's something really unique about it. And you can verify then who that owner is.
And a lot of people don't really realize that. Like, Bitcoin itself, and you can, once again, you can correct me if I'm wrong. You're more of an expert than me. I have, you know, delved into this a small bit, though. Bitcoin itself, yes, it's a currency, but it has a way of making things, I guess, permanent and making them unique. So the fact that people don't realize that the blockchain itself is, it's the reason that NFT can be unique is because of the blockchain itself. Am I correct?
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, it's the actual blockchain itself.
It's stored there permanently. And it has, like, there's a way of, basically, all you really need to know is that one of the crazy technologies that Bitcoin brought in was the fact that you could store something permanently, and kind of have a permanent ledger, I guess, of that. Is that, I hope I'm saying it correctly enough, but, yeah.
Yeah. So, that's a big feature of it, yes.
It's definitely a huge feature, and so that's something that the NFTs kind of, you know, rely on. So now you guys may know about those trading cards. Okay, so now we know that. They keep trying to distract me. I'm telling you, they're making this a game. They're making this a game for me to break. You're not gonna break me. So now you guys have NFTs. If you guys please ask the questions. Mods, pick out the questions if you guys have them. If you have questions, please ask them and just get them to me. Get them to Smart C. She will ask them on the stream. we're not going to break you. Oh my God. Yeah. So, okay. So now we've got, yeah, thank you, Smart C. So now we've got these unique trading cards, these digital trading cards that you can actually verify that you are the only person that owns it, even if someone can download that same file. You can take a picture of the Mona Lisa, but it's not the Mona Lisa. I hope that's a decent metaphor. I'm going to say some very bad metaphors as these go along. So that's where you come in. So let's talk about where you're... Oh my God, Sky. Thank you for the subs. So let's talk about your platform. This is what happens.
I think I'm getting distracted too.
Yeah, they keep doing this. You're a legend. Oh, can't break. We're middle of learning things. How could you get in the way of learning? Thank you so much.
Yeah,
so yes. So okay, you come along and build a digital fashion platform. Gonna go on. This is gonna go on. They're gonna try their hardest. But you can't let them have it. Oh my God.
Yeah, no, I can continue if you want. I'm getting distracted too.
I know, these things happen.
Yeah.
So Emma has a platform, and on it, for example, she has a mod for Among Us. And you can buy a pair of headphones that you'll have in Among Us, and you'll be the only person to own those, that specific pair of headphones. You could then transfer that to someone else for money. So you actually, when I first spoke to them, I was like, DLC, like a pair of headphones in Among Us that I actually own. I'm not just sending money off and Steam get. Let's say I bought something from Steam. Steam just gets that money. I can't transfer that digital good. Like, I've just kind of thrown the money away. I'm not acquiring any asset. This allows you to kind of acquire an in-game asset that you can actually trade, you can sell. Auction off. Emma, correct me. I'm going to make all sorts of mistakes.
Sure. Well, I guess our platform, I mean, really what we brought forth, it's the first Indian mod esports, which is something really interesting because, you know, for a lot of indie games and mods out there, they don't really have another platform for like esports and for being able to run tournaments for users to come and, you know, kind of get a different utility out of the game. So we really wanted to highlight that through, as I said before, like this whole concept of how do you actually liberate gaming? How do you create an ecosystem between players, between developers, and then between designers, because digital fashion very much at the core of what we're doing, where they can plug in and they can start creating value for themselves anytime. So this is where we brought across this new industry of casual esports, because as we know, you know, today esports, it's very much like you go to the tournament, it's timed. But imagine if you could just have an app on your phone or a platform, and as a gamer, you just log in, you choose your favorite content, and you start playing. And as you start playing, you can actually get on a leaderboard. And when you get scored on this leaderboard, both the local and meta leaderboard, you can actually start earning additional income for yourself, additional income streams through cryptocurrency. That's really what the heart of this was all about, is how do you create that?
Right.
And how we've taken the approach is really using NFTs to found all of that. So stop there and let you ask some questions, and then can go into more details.
Yes. So guys, definitely, if you guys have any questions, send them to SmartC right now. I would love to see some questions. Yes. In the meantime, I guess I'll start. No questions from you, Zhang. Awesome. Let's see what else. Awesome. So I was going to wait a second for a question or two, but I guess, you know, I guess an example right now, I like the Among Us mod that you guys did. I did like the fashion how I could use it. When it comes to the actual leaderboards, where are we at? When it comes to having the leaderboards and having people gain currency from that.
Sure.
Have we started those tournaments?
Right. So the first, it's starting officially on Friday. So to just give you a little bit more of a look behind the scenes and how it works is, the NFTs, so we create digital fashion NFTs, and we partner with designers and collaborate with them. And for example, for Among Us, we collaborated with a young girl from Brazil, Koda Madachi, and she's been modding for Among Us and kind of even making a living through that for quite some time now. So we partnered with her because this is really what this is all about. It's about how do you partner with and collaborate with developers, designers, and players so they can have finally a platform to be noticed, to, you know, have value, which is really what, you know, a lot of the gaming industry, there's so many undervalued people, assets, you know, it's really cutthroat. It's not a nice industry to really go into.
Yeah.
It seems nice when you're a kid and then you wake up one day and you realize, wow, if I really want to do something in this, you know, fairy tale industry, it's not good in a sense. It's not cool. There's a lot of toxicity. There's, you know, it's kind of like sink or swim. So it was really, this was where this whole vision and mission and roadmap was founded on. How do you literally, you know, transform that and liberate designers, developers, players from that kind of, you know, trap in a sense, these like siloed verticals and these walled gardens. So how we work is we
partner just before that. Do you have a Twitter? Oh, we got a question from the audience. Do you have a Twitter?
Yes.
Let's make sure we're going to get you all the information. Cheese May.
There you go.
Jack. Thank you.
Oh, got it. Yeah.
Thanks,
cool.
Jason.
So, what I was going to say is I forget what I was saying. Okay.
No, that's fine.
So we partnered with these designers, like for example, Koda Madachi, and she makes these amazing Among Us outfits, which you can see on our marketplace at the moment. And we list them as NFTs. They're minted as NFTs under different rarity levels. So you have like common, you have semi-rare ones, and then you have exclusive ones.
Yes.
And players come on. Yes.
I was going to say, if you guys want to see it yourself, should we post that link? X-Jack,
sure.
could you get that link in the chat? Thank you. So you guys, take a look for yourself so you can ask questions. I'm sure you guys are confused. Very easily to be confused. Easy to be confused.
It's easy to be confused, yes. So we created these designs, these digital fashion items, and they're listed on as NFTs on our marketplace. And a player comes on and they choose either a common, semi-rare, or exclusive fashion skin that then they take in-game. And they're authenticated through our marketplace and through these NFTs. So when they go into, say, this Among Us Sheriff mod, where we partnered with Woody, who's the developer behind that, when they go into that Among Us Sheriff mod and they type in their in-game like username in a sense, through the NFT now authentication system and technology, their skin that they chose from the marketplace is automatically spawned in. So say if you had like a really cool dress or something, and you can see some of the links there.
Yeah, I like the headphones. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah, you got the headphones one, right? Yeah.
Yeah, I really like the headphones.
Yeah, so that's spawned in there, and I'll post the actual link to our marketplace because that's probably, there we go. I just posted it there.
Awesome.
So, you can see the designs there. It's spawned in, and then as a player, you start playing in this Among Us mod. But because of this NFT tracking and authentication through the actual skin, your results when you play, even when you're just playing casually, they're tracked and scored on this leaderboard, which right now, since we're in the beta version, it's more of like set timings where we're doing the tracking and the leaderboard scoring, which begins actually this Friday evening PST.
Around
7 p.m.
7 p.m. I might be able to get the first one. I have to turn off my phone at a certain point. I'm like, when can I do this? When can I get on this? But I'm sure the next one I'll be able to get on, if not.
I will be running the whole weekend.
The whole week? Well, actually, it's funny. It's funny because I'll be gone the whole week. Like, there's a whole thing. But,
okay.
Yeah. It's a holiday. But yes, no, I'm going to get in either this time or next time.
Sure.
So. Yeah. So, yes. So, okay.
They start playing.
Determines. Yes.
Yeah, they start playing and they're tracked through these actual skins and the NFTs that they're wearing in the game. So if you bought a common skin, for example, or you're wearing this common skin, that would determine how you're authenticated and the actual access that you get within our esports tournaments. Because as Esper, you can think of it, we're not a game, we're not a blockchain game, we're like a layer two that sits over gaming content. So we're after Among Us, we're doing Minecraft mods, we're doing League of Legends mods, we're doing Counter-Strike Go mods, we're doing Roblox Obs. So it's like a layer two to all gaming content. And as a player, you can come on and you wear these skins under these different rarity levels for the NFTs. You start choosing your content, you start just casually playing in these rounds, in these tournament rounds, and then you get scored on this leaderboard. And when you get scored, you can actually earn an income through that. So you can actually get paid out through cryptocurrency, which has real market value just for getting on that leaderboard and just for playing. So it's like if you're playing, you know, one of your, say, games in a streamer, you don't have to be a streamer. You can literally be like playing, you know, in your bedroom at 1 a.m. or even on the beach, sitting on the beach and playing. It's all this idea of how do you do it casually and how can you earn additional value and additional income as a player through gaming. In a really casual way, and how the income system works. Just I'll be like,
yeah,
I'll
yeah.
do 30 seconds.
Yeah, no, it's fine. And just so that bad, we're gonna get to you in a second. Go on.
Okay, and then So how that works is the actual profits from the marketplace go towards the designer, like Koda Madachi. You know, for her, it's like this amazing thing that she can earn additional income through her work. It goes towards the developer Woody. Who actually, you know, developed and built out the mod and integrated with our system. And then also it goes to the winning players. So as a player, you're coming in and it's all this idea of, you know, you're actually getting immediate feedback and value from the value that you're putting in, not just from a financial sense, but more so from actually giving your time and playing these games and, you know, showing your passion through that, which is something really important.
Heck yeah. And my question, I think you guys answered this before, but I think the answer was yes. There's like residuals when someone transfers ownership of that NFT. Am I correct? So if someone develops something, they get a residual amount if someone was to buy that from someone else. So the main creator is supported not just one time. Is that right?
Yes, exactly. So there is secondary market royalties, but I know there's one question in the chat about
incentivized
players. Yes, exactly. So that's a really good question. There's like three kind of ways that I would describe it. I mean, number one, if you look more from just like a kind of economical sense as a player, you know, it's hard to earn an income through gaming. Like, how do you actually do your passion and be able to also live a steady livelihood? That can become really difficult. And sometimes you have to make decisions, you know, well, do I give up gaming to take on something else in order to maybe have some more stability? So what Esper and Digitalix and this whole esports NFT platform, it's about, well, giving players the opportunity to you know, continue with their passion and continue with their love of the game without having to give it up, and just through play, earn a living, earning career and a livelihood through play. And so the incentive there is that when players are getting scored on our leaderboard and interacting with the system, they have, you know, getting these income streams and these payouts through our cryptocurrency, which then translate into our real world market value. And then also these NFTs themselves, like you said, Pocket, it's like, well, you wear them in the game, which are these, you know, authenticators within our system.
Yes.
But when they run out or when you want to upgrade them, that initial NFT that you have, it's not like a DLC where it's like just becomes kind of redundant and it's stuck with that system. Well, you can go on the secondary market and you can trade that, or you can sell that off more like it throughout your marketplace in a sense, and then get more value from that. So that's something really interesting. But then I would say, you know, the more intrinsic side and really what we're focused on as well is about just how do you, like I keep saying, how do you really liberate gaming? So you have this ecosystem between designers, between developers and players, where it's actually, you know, supporting them. It's not about being cutthroat and, you know, just kind of locking value with this kind of pyramid and at the top, but how can you really horizontally democratize that so anyone can plug in?
It's so interesting. It's so interesting because it's like, you're like, okay, yeah, we've got to cover the developer. We've got to definitely cover the player. We've got to cover, you know, you're talking about covering all these different people. I don't know. it's crazy. I guess there's just so much money with wanting to own something, like to actually own something. And once you actually own something and it actually has tangible value, I mean, that's value. I'm just thinking out loud, I guess, that like you're covering making the player happy by owning that product, making the developer happy by giving them a commission from it, and the designer, like that's a lot. I don't know. I'm just reflecting a little bit, reflecting, and yes, Jack, I definitely noticed that the bits look like Ethereum. Okay, do you think developers of these games you are modding will embrace the commercialization of their games?
Good question. So there's a few components to this. I mean, some, you know, modders and developers, sorry, just to clarify, do you mean the original developers? You mean the modders themselves commercializing their games as well? Because I guess I can answer it both ways. I mean, we've spoken with a lot of the mod community, and for them, the commercialization aspect, I'd say it's the wrong term of how they view it as well. It's more about providing them with an additional platform and a different utility and use case where they can showcase their content. And then get more stability from that, because they're very much ostracized in the community, a lot of these modders. And even, you know, we've been at the heart of some of those communities, and it's really saddening to see, you know, just kind of how the industry has treated them and how now they view certain aspects of it. So for them, this is like this, and how they have viewed it, and the ones that we're working and collaborating with, it really is like an additional layer two and freedom to that. So that's something really important. But then also when we're talking about, sure, the developers themselves who created that original game content, there's a few components to this one as well. So we operate completely as a layer two. We don't affect any of their current in-game economy, which is something really important. So it's an additional use case, additional utility that they plug into. It's nothing where when they, you know, if a game is with us or we're collaborating with a game and we're showcasing it through Esperant and through the esports, that it's affecting, you know, how their player ecosystem works currently. So many of these games as well, I mean, if you think about Among Us, how that has really survived and stayed so relevant, it's through the modding scene. If you go, you know, on streams, if you go on YouTube, if you just go on Discord, the modding scene is what has kept Among Us at the core so relevant in so many ways, because you know, that's kind of how you remix the novelty without keeping kind of the core story there, which is something super important as well. Even if you go on Discord, some of these modding servers, they have over 170,000, you know, people in the server. And it's based on just, these are just mods. These are groups and developers that have created mods, and they've built up, you know, even a larger community than the original Among Us server, which I think only has tens of thousands. And this, you know, particular Among Us mod server, it has over 170,000. So if you look at that, that's just some initial data. And when you're talking with a lot of the players, they're always talking about other mods. Well, what mod is this? Or what, you know, mod can I stream or just play? So it's really also about giving the original developers as well a different platform and utility for them to plug into, but also the different remixes around the content creation itself, which is something really important for keeping novelty, for keeping relevance. And yeah, I guess ensuring that the ecosystem that they build around their game does sustain, and they can leverage on top of that as well.
Yeah, and like specifically when you said Minecraft, specifically with Minecraft, vanilla Minecraft is I mean, I play only vanilla Minecraft, and I'm shunned. Like everyone, it's, you know, how many people? I don't know. When I started playing Minecraft, everyone was like, "How dare you play vanilla Minecraft?" You know, because there's so much you can do with expanding it. There's a limit to what you can do with vanilla Minecraft, and there's a giant modding community. There's a giant modding community, and they have stuff like Pokemon. I mean, it's all unofficial, and yeah, even Twitch might get on your back for playing the Pokemon mod, but like, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, this is the thing. It's a lot of how these games, these communities have maintained relevance, why they have such strong communities around them. It's around the modding scene. You know, if we look at even Counter-Strike, that is a mod. And that's, you know, one of the biggest games in the world when you think about from a kind of a AAA sense. So
Counter-Strike is a mod?
Counter-Strike is a mod.
I'm trying to remember.
I can't remember.
It's not Gary's mod.
No, it was a mod of, I think it starts with an R or something.
Counter-Strike is
Half-Life.
Source. Yeah, okay, yeah, that makes sense. I was like, it's not Gary's mod. No, it's a Half-Life mod, gotcha.
So, yeah, exactly. I mean, that just shows how a mod created so many jobs, so much economic value, you know, I guess more than that, like, just gamer passion value. And that was at its core, was a mod of Half-Life. So, yeah, exactly. And, yeah, the modding scene, like, all of the ones, the games and that, and the content pieces that we started with, it was intentional to really start with the modding scenes because, like I said, so many groups, communities in gaming are undervalued. And it's that kind of cutthroat industry and cutthroat kind of, I guess, treatment that they're given. So it's about how do you start with them? And this is really what it's all about is how do you start, you know, digitally valuing undervalued people and assets and creating a community and ecosystem around that.
And just before we move to the next thing, I want to attempt to make this a little bit cleaner in the setup. I apologize about that. I want to make sure that this is at least more, you know, a little bit better. There we go. Then, second. Is that better? Let's go with that. You guys can tell me, what do you guys think? Because then we have another question.
Yeah, okay. So it's saying, how do you plan to spread the word about the universe, this universal market? Good question. There's a few parts. I mean, again, building in crypto and building on NFTs and on kind of Ethereum as a core protocol was really a bigger point to all of this is how do you bring scalability for the future, which I'm very much a believer that decentralized applications and decentralized web and Web 3.0, that is the future and that's where we're headed. So it was very much about positioning on this kind of more technically to ensure that, you know, we're, even as we've just seen kind of in the past few weeks and months with this crazy NFT craze and then Bitcoin, you know, hitting above and sustaining above 50K.
It's crazy.
That's something, yeah, that's caused a lot of kind of market activity and demand to become concentrated on the decentralized web. So that's really helped us a lot. Also, I guess we positioned really well last year before anyone was talking about NFTs. This is when we launched and as well for the first two auctions, it was over like 150K in sales just from them. And that was when, you know, you'd walk down the street and nobody would know what NFTs were besides really like an inner circle in a sense of potential artists and then people who had been in crypto for many, many years. So definitely that's, you know, this kind of natural organic kind of just growth of the whole market. We're definitely riding that wave. But then I guess really actively, I mean, this is a 24/7, 365 job.
Yeah.
It's immersive. Yeah. So as a founder, I can tell you it really is. It's all the time. It's always on. And a big part of this is just going and being at the heart of these communities. Like, for example, for kind of when we first announced Esper and the beta launching, that was about 5.5 weeks ago now. Every day it's been like super active in community discords and, you know, very, I guess, naturally spreading the word, because it's not something that should be shielded. It's not something that should be like forced upon people, because there are so many different components to it. It's important that they understand it and then they interact with it, because kind of like what I was saying at the start is, if you don't interact with it and you don't kind of naturally come upon it, then it can be something that becomes really overwhelming. And you can draw a lot of misconclusions about what's going on and the, you know, transparency of certain things, because you're just not aware of how crypto works or NFTs and these kind of things. So
yeah
that's a really big part.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's funny because like I've dealt with a lot of founders and founders of small things, you know, like I don't know, like a little social media app, right? I feel like you're like specifically crypto, NFT, all this stuff, like, and I don't know. It feels like they were working all the time, but you're working double that. I don't know. Like, I don't know. I just feel like it's just a more fast paced industry. Maybe it's just my little observation.
It's very fast paced.
Oh my God. Just insane. We have another question. It was, how did you get into this type of job? And what's your favorite part? And so with Emma being the founder, I guess, how did you get into everything?
Sure. So my background more traditionally is space engineering. I studied that for around 2 years. I mean, I'm originally from Australia, if you can't tell from the accent.
Couldn't notice.
From Sydney. And yeah, is that I studied space engineering and then I dropped out. And I'd always been kind of parallel since I was around 16 into crypto and really just interested by it. I think my personality is always always someone that's very curious. And, you know, I guess crypto, it was always kind of one of these edge cases of an industry for a long time. And a lot of people didn't know where it was going to go. So always really had a high affinity for just kind of following that. And then when I was at university at the same time, I joined a hedge fund and became really involved with that. It was a hedge fund based on Bitcoin and crypto. So I became kind of one of the core co-founders and leaders of that as I was working throughout university. And then I dropped out of university to really go into full-time into just the whole decentralization and Web3, because I really felt like, well, you know, I could sit at school and I could learn some stuff from a book, but it's not actually adding any value to where I want to go in life. Why not go fully in and actually start building and doing, you know, real kind of industry work? I went into that. And then from there, kind of went in two branches. I went very much on the financial side, where I ended up being a co-founder of from that. It was like a larger holding hedge fund that came out of it, and that was based out of Sydney and also Dubai, and that was really focused on tail risk hedging for Bitcoin and cryptocurrency. And tail risk hedging is something, it's a different strategy and approach to how you view the markets and how you execute on trades in the market. There's only about 3 hedge funds that focus on tail risk hedging in the world, and it's all about, okay, losing money when the market's going up, but when there's big crashes, this is where you like gain all your convexity. So I worked really closely with some of the top JP Morgan traders out of that, and they came on board the fund really went into this. And then also the other side of this was I worked closely with the Dubai government on how do you implement Web3 decentralized technologies into the industries.
What's that? Did you catch that humble brag? Whatever. I just worked with that's crazy that you worked directly with the Dubai government
it's interesting. Well, I mean, they're very much if you like just search them online, they're really very interesting government, because you know they're located in a kind of controversial part of the world, and there's a lot of parts to that how do I say, haven't been like adopted globally and certain things there, and they're not sure. fully a Western culture, but they are extremely open to how do they become like really technically advanced just from like through innovation. And they, their whole government is like built on blockchain now. They put out a mandate in 2018 to like transfer the whole government onto blockchain by 2021. So this year, and they achieved 70% of that last year. So I think it's like October this year that the final mandate finishes. So yeah, it's very, a very kind of unique place, Dubai, and they're really open to new ideas, and particularly new ideas and technology. So they brought us in, and myself and one other person, to pretty much advise the government on and create a roadmap for them for the future, for the next 5 to 10 years, about how do you actually implement blockchain and Web3 into industry. So we worked with over 160 stakeholders in Dubai, and like Emirates Airlines to you know, Central Bank, to startups, to, you know, even like startup entities in the US that we're bringing over into Dubai, to create all these over 60 use cases, from like transportation to trade and logistics to finance to tourism, about how Dubai can take Web3 and decentralized technologies and implement them into their industries, but in a way that is sustainable.
It's
going to
change too. Yeah. And it's so, it's like, oh yeah, let's plot out the next 5 years of an ever-changing industry. Like that's,
yes, exactly.
That's nutty.
Exactly. It's super hard to do. But I guess the core part of all of this, and what they were touching on, because a huge problem that Dubai has, it's all about sustainability. 90% of the population is expats, which means people are just coming and going. Like it's no one really calls Dubai besides the Emiratis, which only make up 10%, like the core native communities there, and that they only make up 10% of the broader population. And so 90% of the population is just in and out all the time. They're really only coming because of the tax incentives that Dubai offers. I mean, there's no tax. It's a tax-free nation. So yeah,
no tax,
it was all about, yeah, no tax. It's interesting. I mean, that's literally why a lot of people go there. They go there to work for 5 years to, you know, build up their kind of financial resume in a sense. And then they leave back to what they call home. No one calls Dubai home there. That's an expat. So it was all about how do you use decentralized technologies to embed, you know, sustainability into their culture and their ecosystem. Something very interesting.
Yeah, that's nutty. And that's probably where you got all your experience from going into this. Like that's intense. That's intense. So we've got two questions. Mm-hmm. One's from Yes, I'm That Bad, and one's from Jack. X Jack. So I guess let's, Yes, I'm That Bad, we'll get to yours in just a moment. Let's get to Jack's. Out of all the different things you do, what's your favorite? Fashion design, running teams of devs, making crypto art, liberating gaming and getting creators paid, sleep?
Good question. That's multifaceted.
I know,
so,
right?
I guess it's hard to pinpoint, because it's like you can't do any of those without the other.
God.
At least how I view it.
So much. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's the whole thing. Why I guess what building and everything and developing, it gets really complex, because there's fashion, there's gaming, there's esports, there's crypto, there's NFTs, there's, you know, like
a
what else?
Different
like
sides of it. Yeah.
It's very hard to explain to someone.
Yeah, and that's why,
like,
yeah. That's why I appreciate those questions so much. Because, like, you know, with me, with you, I'm sure it's just, like, very, like, how do people not know this already? And with me, I'm, like, I'm just trying to break it down to the simplest, and it's probably impossible to break it down to its simplest points, right? I don't know. It's so, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's the thing. It's very hard to... and this is why I always say, and to give you an example, like when starting and launching this project last year, it was just starting as just a live marketplace for digital fashion NFTs. And with designers, there was no real gaming component that has come now with Espa. The gaming component was always in the roadmap, but it was about how do you simplify this down to just like one core part to start with.
Post that link again. Yeah.
Sure. That when...
Oh, you don't have to. They can do it. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't have to? Okay.
No, yeah, we've got mods. We've got Jay there.
Ah, great. Awesome. So yeah, when I was speaking with these designers, it was they were had no idea what crypto was or NFTs.
Oh, for sure.
Really gaming. Yeah. So it was about, okay, what I actually did was I didn't explain to them at all that this marketplace was built on crypto or okay. Ethereum or involved that. I just ignored that completely and just said, all you have to do is, you know, create a cool fashion 3D model or design because that's what they're used to and that's what they know.
Yeah.
And then it wasn't until during the auction that they realized, okay, well, people are placing bids in this currency called Ethereum. And then that made them interested. Okay, I'll go and research on Ethereum.
Yeah.
Because now it's actually impacting them, you know, intrinsically and directly. And then when the auctions went really successfully, they were like, wow, because they'd never, ever had that value, you know, like kind of.
Yeah, I'm still, I'm still wowed. Like, I know that Jason's trying to get me to mint my first NFT. We're going to have that stream. I'm still wowed. I'm still like, just, I'm like, you just sold, what was it? You had an auction that had $400,000 worth right now. Like, just $400,000. I guess it's of Ethereum, right? Going back and forth. Like that's just a lot of money already. We're going to. So I don't know. I'm wowed and like, and I'm also going to be wowed, I guess. It's all, I don't know. But sorry, you were saying.
Yeah. No, so I can't remember to be honest. But...
Oh, that's fine, that's fine. We have, where's my pocket NFT? I know, we're gonna have it. Also, we have a couple more questions over here, which is fantastic. One thing I want to do is be mindful of Emma's time because she is trying to get as many people getting on this for Friday night. You guys have to be there because I have religious obligations that are stopping me from being there. You guys have to be there. But also, so I want to be mindful of her time, make sure that she's good on time. And two, I want to make sure that she... you can share your screen and everything and show people a little bit if you want.
Sure. I might have to go in like 10 minutes.
Yes.
If that's
yes.
okay.
That's totally yes, fine. Which one do you want to do? You want to answer questions? You want to show? Can have you, you know, we'll have you on whenever. I love these questions. Yes, I'm that bad. Thank you so, so much for them. Let's, I guess I should just keep this thing going while I can.
I can quickly share my screen.
Yes.
Just so... here, let me go back. So here we go. So this is the, if you can see.
Give me just a second. Let's watch stream. Like I might have to recut it. That's okay.
Do you want me to turn on my video? Would that help or?
No, I think I know what would help. We turn this off. I'm going to try to be very quick. Emma's got a call very soon, guys. Gotta do this quickly. I've got to just get Discord in here. Try it again. Hopefully things don't crash. There we go. Okay, now we're doing a lot better. The thing is, there's so many different sizes that. Okay, we've got a decent view of things. So by all means, take it away.
Sure.
Yeah. And
okay. So this is the marketplace. We've sold around 80K actually in sales already. You can see here, C4, and then 11,000 here. So this is our native crypto Mona that it sells in. But these are the designs from, so all of these profits, they go back, as I said, to the designer, the developers, and the winning players. And these are the designs here by Koda Madachi. So these are like, as I said, these are like the exclusive items, which is super cute. So you buy them and you can take them directly into the mod and start playing, and it starts tracking on our leaderboard. So we have them here, and then we also, and these are the ones that go for auction, more like kind of the NFT native collectors and buyers, but then we also have these semi-rare and common items that you can see here.
And I appreciate that they're not just PNGs, right? You could have just put PNGs there, right?
Yeah, exactly. So we did like for example, this is the acid drop skin, and this is around $9 in like USD equivalent.
Sure, sure.
So yeah, it's all about, and then as I said, like all of this is about, well, you take them in game, they start tracking that they're also like yours, like you own this NFT. So you go onto like your profile page, for example, you'd sign in, you go onto your profile page with a crypto wallet, but we also have this Arcane wallet that we integrated, which allows you to like sign in and secure everything through like your email. So people that, you know, crypto can be a bit scary having a MetaMask and all of this.
Yeah.
So we have that side. Yeah. And you view it, it's on sitting on your profile. So even, you know, after the game's finished, you still own this NFT and you can sell it off in the marketplace to someone else, get additional value for that. Yeah. As well as actually being able to just wear them in game and then compete in these esports battles and gain more value from that as well.
Yeah, and I guess that could roll into Yes, I'm That Bad's question of this isn't talked about as much as other factors, but because money is involved, how can you ensure that personal information is secure?
Very good question. So do you mean from a point of view of like the payment gateway itself or like they say a person's username? Which part of that? Because it can give kind of two different answers.
Awesome. And I guess Jack has a question. How much of what you do is hands-on, creative, technical versus expanding the space and resources for others to build on? Oh man, that's a fairly technical one. I guess if you want to answer it, I'm sure I have more questions too. There's so many questions and she's gonna have to go. We're going to get her back on another time as well.
Sure. I can answer those two. I mean, from a security, I'll quickly ask the security one because that's really important. So here we go. Personal information is secure. So we actually don't take any personal information. This is the amazing thing. It's all authenticated through your wallet and your actual NFTs themselves. So we don't take stuff like your name, you know, date of birth, anything like this. You can choose to use an email through Arcane or you can choose not to. And Arcane, they have their own security for the emails where they actually detach that from your wallet itself as well. So it's not like, you know, someone who gains access to that, they can just come and take over your crypto wallet. There's many additional layers of security to that. But you can also go through MetaMask, which means there's like no personal information attachment. And us ourselves, you know, we store data as actual NFT in the username, but we don't store anything else about the user, which is something really important as well. And we keep it that way on purpose to make sure high security is there. And then this one, how much do you have hands-on creative technical versus expanding? So it's another multifaceted question, but I mean, Digitalex and ourselves, we are a fashion house. We very much, like all the designs that you see on our marketplace, you know, we really heavily involved in this in terms of providing, you know, immense support for the designers, like for example, Koda Madachi. She goes away and does all the actual, you know, how do I say, the actual in-game sprite items themselves. But then when you see like all the graphic side and everything, we take on that to make sure that, you know, it stays appealing for the buyer and we can give kind of the best platform and showcase for the designer that we can. Rendering side as well, we take on all of that. So it's very much, you know, we are a fashion house. We're not just a platform. And sorry, I think my video is
stuffing
up, is it? You took care of it. Okay.
I was working out that entire time. Because you switched back, and so it wasn't.
All right.
Yeah, it's something I had to do on the fly, but yeah.
Yeah, well, the other main. I better go.
Yeah.
Soon, but honestly, thank you for having me.
No, absolutely. Thank you so much for coming on, guys. If you have more questions, her Twitter is over there. We're gonna post it again. Post the site. Thank you so much for being here. We're gonna figure out what more content to do. And Jason, Jay, if you feel like bringing someone else on, if you guys think that's relevant, please, we could have a whole conversation today. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I should let you go. Bye, guys. Send her some hugs. Send her some hugs in the chat.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Thanks, Poker. Bye.
Absolutely.